You'll open the Word of God with me now to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 11. We continue our series this morning through the Gospel of Luke. We're coming to Luke chapter 11, verses 27 and 28. For context, we'll begin reading in Luke chapter 11, verse 14, and read through verse 28, because as we'll see in verses 27 and 28, Jesus is somewhat interrupted in the teaching that he is given to the scribes and the Pharisees by this woman who has an outburst of joy proclaiming the blessing that Jesus is and the blessing of the one who was his mother. So we'll begin our reading then in Luke chapter 11, verse 14, and read through verse 28. Hear now the word of our God. And as he was casting out a demon, and it was mute, so it was when the demon had gone out that the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled. But some of them said, he cast out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. Others, testing him, sought from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. And it happened, as he spoke these things, that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you. But he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us pray. Our God, we want to understand your word. We want to understand the great blessing that here you have proclaimed to those who hear your word and keep it. Help us to understand this great blessing today. Help us to cherish it, to act upon it. Oh God, that it would produce and bear much fruit in our lives. And we ask that you would do this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, this week I upgraded my computer. And I was asked that all-important question at the beginning of upgrading. And then this happens whether you're upgrading an app, you're upgrading your operating system, whatever you're doing. I was asked that question, click yes or no. Have you read and do you agree with the terms and conditions? I checked yes. But I must admit that I did not read all of the terms and the conditions. Now perhaps you do. Perhaps you go through them all and you read them. But I'm willing to bet that most of you do what I did. You clicked yes. Now, I made a calculated assumption that I already knew what they said and I was okay with it. Some of them actually force you to go all the way down and scroll down. Well, what happens then? I speed read right down to the bottom and then click. I agree. So I made this assumption that I already knew what they said. I was okay with it. What about instructions? And I'm going to speak to you men here because I'm speaking to myself. What about those instructions that come? You get something that needs to be put together. And you think, as you're opening up, you're thinking, I don't know what this paper is, and you throw it to the side. You think, I've got this. How hard can this be? I will consult the instructions if and only if I run into trouble. Well, the problem is, by the time we run into trouble and we have to consult the instructions, we've already wasted so much time, not to mention what we're going to have to undo and redo. And yet we thought, I don't need to read these. Now, why is it that we do not take the time to read the terms and the conditions? Why is it that we don't take the time to read the instructions? Well, I would say it's really because we don't believe there's any benefit in doing so. There's absolutely no benefit for me in reading through these terms and conditions. There's absolutely no benefit for me in reading through these instructions. And sadly, we can come to the Word of God with this same mentality. We can think and treat the Word of God in the same way we treat those terms and conditions. We can assume we already know. We already know. Let's get through it. Let's get our devotion done. I've already read the Bible numerous times. Here we are again. I know the story. Let's just scroll as fast as we can and check the box. Or with instructions, we can come to God's Word. And we can treat it like instructions. We can disregard it when we think everything is great, everything's wonderful, I've got everything under control. And which of us have everything under control? I don't need the Word of God. But then when trouble comes, oh boy, I better go back and I better look at what God says. But when we do that, we're saying the same thing that we said about terms and conditions. We're saying the same thing that we said about instructions. We're saying there's really no blessing. There's no benefit to it. But that's not what Jesus says. Now, sadly, many people in our world live without this great, or as we'll see today, greater blessing of hearing and of putting into practice God's Word. They're unregenerate. They cannot see the kingdom of God. They cannot hear the Word of God. They cannot obey the Word of God. But as God's people, we do not and should not live this way. We should not treat the Word of God this way. We have the great blessing, the greater blessing here, Jesus says, of hearing the Word of God and of being able to live according to it. And I want you to experience as much of that blessing as you can in this life. I don't know how much longer you have in this life. I don't know how much longer I have in this life. We're given today. This is it. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But today I want you to experience the blessing of God's Word. That's why I preach the Word. I preach the Word because I am convinced that when the Word is preached faithfully, that when the Spirit is working, that when it is received by faith, when it is received in the ears, when it is applied to the heart, that it will produce a great blessing. You're getting the preached Word today, and in a little bit you're going to get the visible Word, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. You're getting a double dose today. But you need to receive it by faith. You need to treasure it up in your heart. So we come to these two verses, verses 27 and 28. Luke is doing here what he often does. He's bringing women to the forefront. Many commentators have rightly pointed out that Luke's gospel is the gospel of women. He is very concerned with how women are treated. He is very concerned with the relationship that Jesus has with women. Now, this woman that we're introduced to here in verse 27, we're not told anything about her, really. We're told that a certain woman from the crowd. We know she was listening to Jesus. We know she was in the crowd. And we're told that she could not restrain herself. Hearing Him speak, she raised her voice and said to Jesus, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you." In other words, blessed is your mother. Blessed is your mother. Now, I want you to contrast this woman with what was going on at this time. Jesus was having a confrontation with the scribes and the Pharisees, and they were blaspheming Him. They were accusing Him of casting out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, Satan himself. And here this woman comes, and in contrast to the scribes and the Pharisees, she says, "No, blessed, blessed, blessed is your mother. Blessed is the one who bore you." It's a contrast between the blasphemy and those blasphemous words that the scribes and the Pharisees were proclaiming. And this woman here who gets it right, although there's more that she needs to learn. Again, we're not told much about her. Perhaps she had no children. Perhaps she had children and they were certainly not Jesus. We're not told. But we are told that she's filled with joy, so filled with joy at hearing the words of the Savior, that she bursts out with this exclamation, "Blessed is the one who bore you." Now, was she right? Was Mary blessed? Absolutely. Mary was very blessed. She was blessed by God. But this woman, as correct as she was about Mary, needed to understand that as blessed as Mary was at being the mother of Jesus, there is a greater blessing to be found. Jesus says in verse 28, more than that. We'll get to that in a moment. More than what? Now, this woman didn't know all of the background, but Jesus did, and we do. And he says, more than that, more than everything that Mary experienced, here is a greater blessing. And the greater blessing is the Word of God being heard and being kept. That's the greater blessing. So we'll see, as we look at these two verses, that the Word of God, when heard and applied, brings the greater blessing. The Word of God, when heard and applied, brings the greater blessing. The Word of God brings greater blessing than we often realize. Now, this woman knew that there was a blessing here. She knew that Mary, Jesus' mother, was blessed. But she said more than she knew. Let's think about the blessings that Mary had received. Mary had received the blessing of being physically visited by an angel with a message from God. And what did Gabriel say to her? We looked at this back in Luke chapter 1, verse 28. Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. She was blessed at being chosen to bear the Son of God. Elizabeth recognized this in Luke 1:24. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. She was blessed in that she would be overshadowed by the power of the Holy Spirit so that the one in her would be the Son of God. She was blessed in giving the great responsibility. Think about that. Of the raising of the Son of God. Mary recognizes this as she responds to Elizabeth in Luke chapter 1, verse 48. She says, henceforth, in other words, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. In fact, we may say that this is the beginning of the fulfillment of that. This woman is fulfilling that prophetic word from Mary. All nations will call me blessed. And this woman says, blessed is the one who bore you, the one who nursed you. Now, how was it that Mary received all of this blessing? Did God look down upon Mary and say, there's a hard worker, there's a holy person, there's one who keeps my law? No. She received it as all the blessings of God are received, by faith. In fact, Elizabeth, speaking of Mary, will say, blessed is she who believed. Mary heard the words promised to her through Gabriel. She listened carefully. She acted upon it. Remember how she responds to Gabriel. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. She received that by faith. And she received a great blessing. And this woman, she knew that there was a blessing, but she was looking in the wrong place. She was thinking with her eyes. She was thinking, yes, the mother of Jesus, wow, to have a son such as this. Blessed is the womb that bore you. Blessed are the breasts which nursed you. But she was focusing on the wrong blessing. And that's what we often do. We do the same thing. We are so tempted by nature to look at things with our eyes, to walk by sight and not by faith. I mean, think about it. We tend, don't we, to think in this way. We think the greater blessing would be to see Jesus with our own two eyes. Oh, if only I could actually see Jesus. If I could, like Paul, be taken to the third heaven. If only we could touch Him. If only, as Thomas said, we could put our fingers in His wounds, then we would be strong in our faith. But here is the reality. Seeing is not believing. There were many, 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 including the scribes and the Pharisees here, who saw Christ continually while he was on the earth, who are in hell now, because they did not come to him by faith. Now, what Jesus does not do here is he does not minimize the great blessing of motherhood. He doesn't say to this woman, no, you're wrong. Mary was not blessed in any way. But what he does say is that in perspective, there is a greater blessing. There is a greater blessing than being physically visited by an angel with a word from God. There is a greater blessing than being chosen to bear the Son of God. There is a greater blessing than being overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. There is a greater blessing than being made responsible for the raising of the Son of God. There is a greater blessing than being physically related to Jesus. There is a greater blessing. What is that blessing that he brings out? He says it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God that is the greater blessing in verse 28. But he said, more than that, greater than that, blessed are those who hear the Word of God and keep it. Now, there's two things here, though. It's not as if the Word of God simply brings greater blessing. But the Word of God brings greater blessing only when it is received. Notice Jesus says, blessed are those who hear the Word of God. It's received by hearing. Now notice what Jesus says here. He doesn't say reading. Now I'm not minimizing the reading of the Word of God. And yes, it wasn't as if at this time they had printing presses and the Bible was mass produced. A lot of it came orally. So I don't want to minimize the practice of the reading of God's Word in personal devotions. Do that. But what Jesus is teaching here is the same thing that Paul teaches, is that God has designed preaching, that is, the verbal proclamation of His Word, as the primary way in which people grow in grace. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10. We'll look at Romans chapter 10. Verses 14 through 17, and also I will read to you from the Heidelberg Catechism, question 65. So Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 14, Paul brings out the way that people are going to have faith, the way that they're going to increase in faith, the way that they're going to know the Lord. How then shall they call on Him, that is Jesus, in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hearing. Listening. Hearing the Word of God preached, that's what Paul is saying here. Our catechism brings out this truth. Question 65. Speaking of where does faith come from? It says this, since then we are made partakers of Christ and all His benefits by faith only. Where does this faith come from? And here's the answer. The Holy Spirit works faith in our hearts by the preaching of the Holy Gospel and confirms it by the use of the Holy Sacraments. That's what's going to happen today. The Holy Spirit is at work as the Word of God is preached, increasing our faith. And He's going to confirm that faith. He's going to reinforce that faith as after we hear the Word of God proclaimed from the pulpit, we come to His table and see the Word, see the Gospel visibly set forth before us. And so it is received by hearing, but it is received by proper hearing. Turning back to Luke and chapter 11 and verse 28. More than that, blessed are those who hear. The Word of God has to be preached. Men have to be called to stand before God's people and proclaim the gospel. But it must be received by proper hearing. I love the Westminster Larger Catechism, question 60 on this. I'm going to read it to you because it's helpful to understand what is required of us who hear the Word of God preached. That's the question. What is required of those that hear the Word preached? Listen to this. It is required of those that hear the Word preached that they attend upon it with diligence, preparation, and prayer, examine what they hear by the Scriptures, receive the truth with faith, love, meekness, and readiness of mind as the Word of God, meditate and confer on it, hide it in their hearts, and bring forth the fruit of it in their lives. What a great definition of what is required in the proper hearing of the Word of God. Let's think about that for a moment. It is required of those who hear the Word preached that they attend upon it with diligence. Simply means with attention. Pay attention. Particularly talking to you children. Pay attention to the Word of God when it is being preached. But don't worry, I won't leave out you adults. Because I know our minds wonder. What am I going to do this afternoon? What am I going to do next week? It's easy to get off track. With diligence, pay attention. Parents, you need to model this for your children. And children, if you can write, start taking notes. In fact, those who are in confirmation class, here's my challenge to you. Bring your notes to me. I want to see them. I might know something about the sermon. I might know a little bit about what it is about. But I want to hear what you heard. What did God say to you? How does that apply to your life? You know, it said that when you hear something and then you have to process it and you have to write it down, it sticks. We have papers out there that you can use that are provided for your children to take notes on. Do it. With diligence, pay attention. God is speaking. With preparation, the answer goes on. With preparation, I'm willing to bet that you who work prepare for meetings at work. If you have a meeting, I hope you're preparing for it. I hope you don't go in there, unless you forgot about the meeting, and just say, "I'm going to wing it." But if you have an interview, well, I don't know. Research the company. Who has time for that? Research the position, forget it. I'm just going to go in and wing it. Students, children, if you have a test, maybe you don't want to study for it, but do you? Or you just say, you know, listen, I don't know. It's really not worth my time. No, you prepare for these things, don't you? And if we prepare for things like work and school, oughtn't we to prepare to come into the presence of the living God? Even more so? I think so. If we're honest, I think we would all have to admit that we spend far more time preparing for earthly things than we do for heavenly things. How do we do that, though? How is it that you can prepare? Well, one thing is to read the passage that is going to be preached on and be thinking about it. Well, one of the practices that I try to put in place for my family is in our time after dinner on Saturday night. We're starting to read the passage to get our minds thinking about it. Go to bed thinking about it. Wake up in the morning thinking about it. Come prepared to be fed. It's kind of like looking at the menu as you're getting ready to go to a restaurant. Okay, then your taste buds start to activate and you're hungry. And by the time you get there, you cannot wait. So it should be with the Word of God. Be thinking about it. Ask questions. Use what I send out to be thinking about these things and what is going to be spoken. It goes on, you should prepare with prayer. Ask God to do a work in you before you come. And expect Him to work. The answer goes on, examine what you hear. Examine what you hear by the Scriptures. Don't take everything that is said, hook, line, and sinker. Be Berean, compare it with the Word of God. But when you understand that it is the very Word of God, receive the truth with faith, love, meekness, and readiness of mind as it is the very Word of God. When you hear it explained, and when you understand what it is, don't walk away and say, I know that that's what God's word says, but I don't want to hear it. I don't want it. And so it needs to be received by hearing the preaching of the word of God. It needs to be received by proper hearing. But it also needs to be applied. It's not enough simply to hear it. Jesus says here, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. That is, and put it into practice. And so we see the word of God brings greater blessing only when it is received, but also only when it is applied. James brings this truth out, doesn't he? Don't be the foolish man who looks in the mirror and immediately forgets what he looks like. Don't be the foolish person who comes and hears the word of God and then leaves this place and thinks of it no more. And so it's applied as we meditate upon the word and as we discuss the word. Again, the Westminster Larger Catechism, question 60, says that we are to meditate and confer on it. Meditate. What is meditating but thinking about it? In other words, you're supposed to have a conversation with yourself in your own mind about the word of God. But it goes on, confer about it. When you confer with about something, you confer with others. So you're not only to be thinking about it in your own mind, but you're to be talking about it with one another. And here's the question, what is it? What is it after the service that you talk about? What is it that you go out and in the conversations in the hall right now, what is it you talk about? Is it what was just preached? Is it the word of God? Or do you spend more time talking about other things? I'm not saying that those other things are not proper to talk about. And I'm not saying that you have to go out and you have to have some kind of theological deep discussion. But don't be so quick to forget. Don't be so quick to forget what God has said. Because we can do that. Fellowship with one another. But don't forget that you just heard a word from the living God. And then encourage one another throughout the week. You know, it may be good to get together with individuals and talk about the Word of God, what you're reading, what you're studying, what you've heard. And the Catechism goes on, hide it in your hearts. Memorize Scripture. Take it in. Make it a part of your thought process. We have the example of the psalmist, Psalm 119:11. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. The example of Mary. Mary, we're told, kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. It's applied as we meditate on the word, as we discuss the word, but also as we live out the word. The Larger Catechism ends with this, that we are to hear the preaching of the word of God in such a way that it brings forth the fruit of it in our lives. And it will bring forth fruit. If you are united to Christ, you are like that branch that is connected to the living vine. You cannot help but bring forth fruit. So when the word of God is proclaimed and it is received by faith and you store it up, it will produce fruit in every area of your life. There is no area of your life where this Word of God is not going to bear fruit. Don't isolate your life or sections of your life off from the Word of God. Because it is the greater blessing. We see that. That's what this woman needed to understand. She spoke in verse 27. She raised her voice from the crowd and said, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you." And she was correct. The angel, certainly Gabriel, had addressed Mary as the highly favored one, blessed among women. Elizabeth, who was filled with the Holy Spirit, proclaimed that Mary was blessed among women. Mary herself prophesied that all generations will call me blessed. Think about it. Mary had been chosen by God to bear the Son of God. Mary had been visited by the angel Gabriel and heard the promise of God from the lips of His messenger. Mary had been overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. Mary was given the great responsibility of caring for and raising the Messiah of God who would save His people from their sins. So therefore, this woman who raised her voice and cried out, "Blessed is your mother," was not wrong. Mary was blessed. But as blessed as Mary was, as blessed as she was, It is nothing compared to the blessing that you and I receive when the Word of God is proclaimed. Think about that. We often think, wow, Mary was really blessed. Mary was visited by an angel. Mary was used of God in this great way. Jesus says, that's wonderful. Yes. But more than that, blessed are those who hear the Word of God and keep it. This is the greater blessing that I want you to see. This is not only the greater blessing that I want you to recognize, but I want you to receive. God has ordained the preaching of His Word as the primary means by which we increase in faith, by which we grow closer to Him. And it's not simply as if coming and sitting under the preaching of God's Word, as if showing up to church works some kind of magic. It's not how it works. Jesus doesn't simply say here, those who show up, but those who hear the Word of God and keep it. This greater blessing is reserved for those who receive the Word and apply it in their lives. It is for those who prepare their hearts to receive the Word, who diligently and prayerfully listen to the Word, who examine it to see if it is true, believe it, and treasure it. It is for those who meditate upon it, who speak of it, who treasure it up in their hearts. It is for those that this greater blessing is reserved. And it is a greater blessing, isn't it? Know that. Cherish it. Desire it. Take full advantage of it. Take full advantage of this blessing. You don't know how many more times you're going to get to receive this blessing. You don't know what tomorrow holds. By God's grace, we have a church that is faithful to His Word. Praise God for that. By God's grace, we have a place where we can come and we can hear His Word proclaimed and we can, by it, be blessed. But I want you to receive this blessing. I want you to do it, and I want you to be prepared for it. So think about that. As you think about this sermon, think about and ask yourself the question, what are you doing to prepare yourself and your family to hear God's Word each week? What are you doing to make sure that you do not walk out of here and simply drop all the words to the ground and go on with your life as if it didn't matter? What are you doing? So that you ensure that you're not only hearing the Word of God, but you're keeping it, that it is bringing forth fruit in your life, not simply today, but every day. Know this blessing. Cherish it. I want it for you. I desire it for you. I want you to experience. Remember, it's not something that you're just going to come here and sit under and automatically just gain. But it is something that is a blessing. It is something that when you come and you hear God's Word, you receive it by faith, you apply it, that it brings such a great blessing. Amen. Let us pray. Our God, we thank You that You have blessed us beyond measure in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that You have given us this greater blessing than even Mary experienced, being His mother. This greater blessing of hearing Your Word. And of the power that You have given us by Your Spirit to apply it to our lives. May we do that. May we make the necessary changes that need to occur so that we prioritize this great means of grace that You have provided to us. We thank You for it. And we ask that You would bless us in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.